Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. While you're finding Acts chapter 3, I want to just say I am honored and I am privileged to be able to be here tonight with the Victorious Valley Homes. And we do now have boys. We've got, just lost a couple. I got to calculate here. I think we've got eight boys, but it is my honor, my joy, my privilege to work with every one of them. And of course, y'all know me, I was in Rock of Ages Prison Ministry for 15 and a half years, and I'd stand in front of them old boys, and I made this statement: I do not know the times. I'd say, well, I got, for instance, 15 years served on a life sentence, amen? Yes. And that's how I looked at it. And I wasn't planning on leaving. Had no idea. But we took that trip, one of them mentioned there about in a revival there at Victorious Valley Children's Home there back in February. And God really moved amongst us, and He blessed and He helped us. And He had been working in my heart. And y'all probably figured that out as I'd come by here. We'd talk about the prisons, but God opened the door about 3 years ago for us to go into children's homes. And I'd go on to the prison, and I loved the prison, but my heart was with them youngins. And I watched God begin to work in my wife's heart, and He gave her that same love and compassion and heart. And I just praise Him tonight. I too can say it's, I don't know that I really thought about traveling with these youngins, but I can tell you they've been in my heart from the very first time I heard them. Of course, it wasn't this particular group, but it doesn't matter. They're all precious before the Lord, and they're all different. They're all unique, but they sure are precious. But God, He just moved on my heart and soul the first time I ever heard them, and I didn't know all about it, but I knew somewhere down the road I felt like we would be around, amen. Didn't know I was moving in, but thank God for His faithfulness and how He leads. As most of y'all know, I grew up in a children's home from 4 to 18, and so I kind of know Him a little bit, I feel like, and I just praise Him tonight. We're privileged to be here with them. And my, what a precious youngin or youngins they are. And anyway, that ain't all proper grammar, but I just thank God for the opportunity. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says there, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Let's pray. Father, help me tonight. Lord, you know, Father, that Jimmy Nichols cannot help these folk. Lord, if they get any help, it'll be because, Lord, you looked upon Jimmy Nichols and you saw fit to touch and cleanse and purge and empty and fill with the Holy Ghost of God and anoint and clothe in my calling and help me, God, to preach your word. God, Jimmy Nichols is not capable of that apart from you and your help, but Lord, I don't have any desire to stand here tonight without you. And I know, God, you're here. And I ask you just to help me, Lord. You know my heart. You know, God, I want to be a help and want to be a blessing and want to make a difference in somebody's life for your glory. And, Lord, I just pray you'd take your word. Do what only you can do. Bring it to life, for it is the living word of God. And Lord, whatever you please to do tonight in our midst for your honor, your glory, and your praise, We'll thank you for it, for it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, with the help of the Lord, I want to look at this scripture tonight, and I want to ask you a question. We look at verse 5 there, and we're talking about this lame and potent man who stops Peter and John on their way to the temple, on their way to prayer. And the Bible says again in verse 4, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And then again, verse 5, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." And I saw a picture in this of the church of the living God in the day and the hour that we're living. And the lame and potent man being a world that's lost and undone without God, without the Lord, without any hope, without any help, and in desperate, dire need tonight. And, you know, just as this lame and potent man had enough sense to know where he might get help, I know the world knows that if they really, truly are serious about getting help, they'll come to the church of the living God. And they'll seek it out, and they'll find themselves in our midst. But the only problem that I have and the only fear that I have tonight is that I believe too often when they come and too often when they show up, they don't get what they need. They come seeking, they come looking, they come knowing they need help. But the church of the living God is in such dire straits, in awful shape, that we're not even able to meet the need tonight. Now, unlike this lame and potent man, he got help, amen. And can I say this tonight? No matter what shape you're in, child of God, no matter what shape you're in, Gateway Baptist Church, I'm glad tonight I can tell you, I can report to you that we don't have to stay in the shape that we walked in the door in. Now, I'm fixing to give you some things from this text, the good word of God, that I am convinced will take care of the need. We're going to look at the lame and potent man, and we're going to look at Peter and John, and we're going to see what Peter and John gave him. Because the same thing, and there went my water, but that's all right. But the same thing that Peter and John gave this lame and potent man is the same thing that a lost and dying world needs today, and they need to see it in the church of the living God. Let's look at it now. Again, the Bible says there that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him said, with John said, "Look on us." Now, I want you to understand, first of all, I believe that Peter and John, and you can write this down if you're taking notes, the first thing they had and the first thing that we need if we're going to meet the need of a lost and dying world tonight is they had and we need perception to see. We need perception to see. Now listen, this lame and potent man on the surface, listen, he's a nuisance. He's in the way. He's a hindrance. And if you're looking at that lame and potent man through the natural eye, through the physical eye, that's exactly what you see. But I want you to know the key to all of this is in Acts 4:13. And don't turn over there. Well, let's see. It's just one chapter over. If you want to, go over there and look at it. Acts 4:13, here's what it says. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now listen, that's where we get our eyesight adjusted. That's where we are able to get perception to see. Listen, unless we are at his feet and unless we lay at his feet long enough for him to be able to give us his eyes. And by the way, I don't know about you tonight. I don't know where you are tonight, but I want his eyes. I want to see this world through his eyes. I want to see people through his eyes. I want to be able to just even get a glimpse of what he beholds when he looks upon us. And lest you might be sucked into this way of thinking that a lame, impotent man or somebody that would be obnoxious and full of the world and the devil and sin, lest you would look upon them and be tempted to see them through the natural eye. May I remind you, apart from the grace of God, that was you and that was me. And I don't know about you, but I sure am glad that there's a God in heaven that when everybody else looked at a Jimmy Nichols and they concluded that boy will never amount to anything and that boy is not worth any more effort and any more investment, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that looked past all that mess and in spite of who I was, where I'd been and what I'd done, he came after me. And I thank God tonight that even when I ran as hard as I could in the exact opposite direction from him, he came after me. And I'm here to tell you tonight that when I see people today that are doing all they know to do, by the way, you know what sinners do, don't you? You know what sinners do? Sinners sin. That's what sinners do, and that's all sinners will do, that's all sinners can do is sin. But you know what? I'm glad there's a God in heaven. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves them in spite of their sin. Now listen, he hates their sin. He despises their sin. He does not condone their sin. But you put her down, he still loves sinners. And you know what? I find myself right there with him. And you know what? I've never been sorry. I've never been sorry that I took time to reach out to a lost and dying young man, young lady, young woman, a young person, and give them the gospel. And you know what? I'm thankful tonight that John and Peter had perception to see. Now, folks, I'll tell you again, there's no shortcut here. You cannot get this anywhere else but at his feet. And I know that's what's wrong today. I know that's why we're in the mess we're in today. We don't have time to seek his face. We don't have time to come to him. We don't have time to linger at his feet. But let me tell you, I pray that God may stir somebody tonight to realize and understand, hey, we're missing it tonight. We're missing it tonight. Hey, I don't know what you thought about when these young ladies was up here singing. But I'll tell you what, hey, and you put her down. I mean, Sister Carrie painted it pretty accurate. Hey, listen, every single one of them, oh, they have so much potential. I know how it is. I know how some people think. I know how some people imagine. Well, they're just there, and it's just kind of a little pit stop along the way, and they'll get all stirred up, and they'll, you know, go along with the flow a little while, and then they'll get on out, and they'll go back home, and they'll just go right back out and wash out. Well, you believe that if you want to. But you listen to me. If I did not believe that God was able to change a life, and if I did not believe that God was able to help us and everybody involved in this work to not just see them saved, but salvage a life and salvage a family and one soul at a time and one family at a time, turn a generation back to God, I'll tell you what, I would not have moved 4 hours from my house in Rural Retreat, Virginia, to Sunset, South Carolina. I tell you what, listen, we need perception to see, folks. We need perception to see. And I pray tonight that God will open our blinded eyes. I pray that God will help us. Now look at verse 4 with me. Verse number 4, the Bible says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And then the Bible says, and in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Yes, I believe, first of all, the thing they had was perception to see. But I believe also, I believe they understood and they realized that it was a privilege to serve. It was a privilege to serve. Again, the average person would have walked right by this lame and potent man. The average person would have looked at him probably just for a fleeting moment. And this is the type of person you don't even really want to linger around. You just want to get away and go on about your business and get them as far out of your mind as you can. You know what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. That's the average man's response. But I want to tell you again, if you've been at his feet and if you've laid there long enough to get just a glimpse of what he sees, not only will you realize that man is indeed worth your time, you'll do more than pray for him. You'll put feet on your prayers and you'll go where he's at. Did you notice that? Listen, they went where he was. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They went right where he was at, and they looked him right in the eye. And the reason they did that is because, again, hey, they understood and realized it was a privilege to serve. But listen, it's not enough to go where they are. It's not enough to talk to them about the problem. Listen, if we're going to change the world for the glory of God, we're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do. And thank God, listen, what did he do? Bible says he took him by the right hand. Hey, he didn't just go where he was. He didn't just see where he was. But he got right down there where he's at, and he reached down and he grabbed him by the hand. And you know what? Hey, listen to me. Let me tell you something. He sacrificed. He gave of himself. He gave of himself. It said, listen, we've got to go where they are, but we got to roll up our sleeves and get to work. I want to tell you, it is a privilege to serve. Thank God. Folk, listen, you can have all the programs. You can have all your, you can have it all together, and you can have it all, planned out. And you can even, you can come together on Tuesday night or Thursday night or whatever night you go out, and you can pray, and you can go out where they're at. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you're not going with perception to see, and if you're not going with a heart attitude of understanding and realizing it's a privilege to serve, no matter who they are, where they are, what they've done, what they look like, where they live, and listen, I'll tell you, we'll not get the job done. And it's not getting done, church. You got enough sense to know that. You look around us in the world we're living in. I tell you, we're headed in the wrong direction. And that's the burden of my heart tonight concerning the church of the living God. God help us. God help us. But look at verse 7 again. It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, what am I talking about? Yes, listen. What do you have? Hey, they had perception to see. Hey, they realized it was a privilege to serve. But I'm here to tell you, hey, again, it's not enough to go where they are, and it's not enough to just meet them where they're at. We've got to be able to help them, amen. And thank God, listen, because they had, here it is, power for supply. Hey, they were able to see this man get help. Listen, this hand was reaching down and grabbed a hold of that lame and potent man's hand. But I got news for you. This hand was reaching up. And because this hand was reaching up, and this hand got a hold of his hand, and his hand connected to that hand. Listen, that's the power source. I don't know a whole lot about electricity, but I know, listen, if you got juice on this end and juice on this end, I'll tell you, and you get them together, I'll tell you, you got power, amen. in and of ourselves. You can go all you want to go. You can pour in the man hours. You can knock on all the doors. You can pass out the gospel tracts. You can do everything that you know to do. But I got news for you. If this hand is not connected to His hand, you're just spinning your wheels and wasting your time. But glory to God, if this hand is plugged into His hand, then you go out there and you go to work. Business is fixing to pick up because, listen, He has all power. He is the one who does the work. Amen. Paul said, listen, he said, I planted. He said, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. I've knocked this water over, but I need water. thank the Lord. Thank you. You told me that. Amen. I forgot there's more down there. We're not going to put that up there. Amen. So, but thank God. Listen, there's power for supply. And, you know, I thought about in the book of Acts, you know, the Bible talked about that early church going out. And the Bible said that, listen, that when they went, that God gave them favor among all the people. That's the secret. That's the key. Listen, in and of ourselves, hey, we can spend our wheels and we can waste our days and waste our hours. But listen, if we've got power for supply, thanks be unto God. Listen, that's what will get the job done. Look with me at Acts 3 and 12. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 12. The Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Look at chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12. Look at it there. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him that this man stand here before you whole, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God there is power for supply. And thank God it's all wrapped up in Him. I said it a while ago, I'm going to say it again. I'm glad I'm a simple, naive fella. I'm glad. Listen, I ain't real smart about some things. I'm not got a whole lot figured out about some things, and I'm just glad, amen. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm glad I got enough sense to realize and understand that Jimmy Nichols could not help but one of these youngins. Jimmy Nichols does not have it in him. Jimmy Nichols does not have the capacity to make not one little bit of difference in one of their lives. But I also know with the help of Almighty God, as He gives me grace and help, and if I'll stay at His feet and I'll keep my eyes on Him and I'll apply everything I'm preaching tonight, I'm telling you, I believe with everything in my soul, one of them will get it here, and then on down the road, another one will get it here, and then on down the road, another one will get it here, and then on down the road, another one will get it here. And you know what? I can't work that up. I can't make it happen. I don't have any power or control over it, but I do know this. I know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and I know if you'll just lay it all at His feet, look heavenward and say, lead on, O King Eternal. He'll take it from there. And I'll tell you what will happen in a little while. We'll look back and we'll see this one out there making it. We'll see this one out there with a godly family. We'll see this one out there serving God for His honor, glory, and praise. We'll see this one singing to the praise of Almighty God. We'll see this one serving in the church. We might see this one being a good godly secretary. We might see this one being a good godly teacher in a Christian school. We might see this one. We might see this one working right along beside us. Glory to God, helping some other youngins to salvage their life and to keep the cycle going for the glory of Almighty God. I kind of like that, amen. But I know it's got to be Him. I know it's got to be Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'll tell you what, but thank God there's power for supply. You know what? My only question is this. Listen to me. What do you have? What do you have? What about you? I can't answer for you. I'm accountable to God for Jimmy Nichols and my family. I cannot answer for you. But oh, I pray tonight. I pray tonight. I pray tonight. If you don't have what you need, I pray you'll make your way down this old-fashioned altar tonight. And I pray you won't be in any hurry. I pray you'll lay here however long it takes for God to stir in your soul. To make a difference in a world that's lost their way long ago and groping in darkness. Oh, church, listen, don't you know? Hey, they come to the church. They come. These are people looking for answers. They're looking for help. They've come. They've showed up here. They've showed up here. They've showed up here. And you know what? Hey, I can't answer for you what they got when they got here. Because I'm not here but just every blue moon. But you are. You are. But here's what I know. Hey, it don't take but a couple of complacent, carnal, hard, cold, indifferent children of the living God to shut her down. They might have come here. It could have been their last hope. They might have come here ready to throw in the towel and just give it up. But they heard something about a church down the road there. They said, I believe I'll go give it a try. What if they showed up? What if they showed up and the power supply was short-circuited because of ill feelings, because of unconfessed sin, because of a hard, cold, complacent, carnal child of the living God sitting in our midst? You don't believe that's possible? You don't believe that could happen? Oh, I'm here to tell you it happens all the time, all over this country, every time the church doors are open. And I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about churches where the old books preached and loved and adored. I'm talking about where the choir will bring the house down singing, I mean, to the rafters, and everything looks good and everything seems okay. Oh, but listen, God knows. Oh, yes, He does. God sees. God knows. God sees. And you know what? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't take much to short-circuit the power supply. Oh, let me tell you. Hey, let me tell you something. I can't see your heart tonight, nor can you see mine. Oh, but I'll tell you what. I do not want to stand in the way of one precious soul getting help. And I don't believe you do. But here's my question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If you come tonight and you wasn't plugged in, you wasn't prayed up, you wasn't fessed up, hey, you know what? What are you going to do? You going to leave that way? You going to leave that way? Or you going to let God, you going to let God meet you, and you're going to let God deal with you, and you're going to let God help you so you can in turn be able to help somebody else? Oh, listen, you're looking at a preacher that still believes that the sweet Holy Ghost of God longs to meet with us and longs to pour out His Spirit amongst us. I know that ain't popular preaching today. I know that, but I still believe it. You know why I believe it? Because it wasn't long ago I was in such a church and we had such a service. Man, I remember we went that morning. I'd never been to this church. This man called me. He asked me if I'd come preach. I said, be glad to. And, you know, he told me where it's at. I said, you're going to have to give me real good directions because I know the area. And listen, we're talking about dirt roads. We're talking about dirt roads. We're not talking about paved roads. And I said, you just give me real good directions. I'm listening and I'm writing. Well, I'll tell you what, he gave me directions. I got in my car and I'm headed in that direction. I'm headed in the general vicinity. I'm listening. I'm looking them directions. Man, I made several turns. And I'm back in them, I mean the end of the end of the world. And I made me a couple turns on a couple of dirt roads. He gave good landmarks. I mean, you know, go to that stump, you know, at the end of that lane and hang a left. And then drive the end of the cornfield and hang a right. And so, you know, but I'm driving and I'm looking. I mean, there's no civilization out here. I said, well, if there is a church out here, where in the world's the people going to come from? There ain't nobody anywhere around here. Well, I come around this bend and I'm thinking, man, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And about that time I read, you're going to think you're lost, but keep driving. I said, I'm right on target. I turned another bend and I topped the ridge. And lo and behold, there she was, a beautiful country church. I pulled up. I was there early. Wasn't nobody else there. I got out of my car. Man, I got caught up in the scenery. I thought that maybe I just climbed on up into glory. Maybe I'm home, amen. I'm looking around. I'm looking down. I mean, it's beautiful. And I'm just really just caught up. And I started to pray and worship, and I was having a good time before they ever got there. And then the people started coming. And you know, and I went in. And I don't know where these people come from, but they filled that little church up. And we got in there, and we had the singing. They got up, and they started singing. And I tell you what, I knew I was in the right place right away. Because I'm going to tell you what. Hey, when they sung, listen, they brought the glory down. Amen. I mean, it got on. I mean, it got good. And I mean, listen. Hey, if I didn't have any preach in me that morning, which I did, I would have tried to preach, amen. But you know what? They got through singing, and then the preacher called me up there, and he introduced me, and then I read my text, and I commenced to preach. I'll tell you what, I got to looking around, and I want to tell you what, these people were right in there with me. I like it when it's that way. I mean, they're sitting on the edge of their, they come hungry. Do you hear me? I tell you what, you get hungry enough, it don't matter even if Brother Jimmy Nichols is preaching, you'll get something, amen. You come prayed up, fessed up, looking up, you'll get help, amen. It got good. And I'll tell you what, I just had time in my life. And you know what, I got carried away. I don't know how long I preached, and I'm not going to preach that long tonight, but I preached a while. But you know what, hey, I got through preaching, and I give an invitation. And you know what? I noticed while I was preaching, there was some activity going on. I mean, God was moving. There was people weeping. There were people, I could tell they were praying. Something was going on there. There were people there that I didn't know anything about that they knew were there, and they were begging God. They were begging. I didn't hear them pray, but I've been there before, so I know it's something kind of like this. Lord, don't you let them go out of here lost. Lord, don't you let them go out of here the way they come in. Lord, please. God, they're here this morning. They're under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, please bring them. God, don't let them go out of here. Well, I'll tell you what, I give that invitation just as soon as it started. Here come, now this is a miracle in and of itself. Two teenage boys come. And they knelt down right here and they got wonderfully, gloriously saved. You think that ain't unusual today? Hey, but you know what? Here's what I like. When them two boys come, there were men, several, pronto, right on them. I like that. You know what Titus 2 says? It says, let the older men teach the younger men. Let the older women teach the younger women. They come around them old boys, and I'll tell you what, just a few moments' time, hey, they're shouting her out down there. Them two boys got in. Well, then I noticed, there's a young lady about fourth row back over here. She gets up. And she makes her way over here. And she gets down here and she's praying. And when I saw that lady praying, I'll tell you what, I did not know her need, but I knew she had one. I mean, she was empty and everything she had right there at his feet. And you know what? I could no longer stand here. When I saw her there, I got over here. And I started praying for that lady. I said, Lord, I don't know what that lady's need is. Lord, I don't know why she's here. But Lord, you know. God, would you just help her? Would you just bless her real good? Lord, would you just meet her need? God, would you please, would you help her? And by the way, I left this out. As soon as she started praying, several ladies gathered around her. And they jumped right in there with her. And it's all weeping and praying and pleading and begging. I like that. You don't see that much anymore. I like that. That did something for me. Well, I got through praying. And I was going to my seat. About that time, this big old humongous man gets up from the back row, and I got my head down. I'm not looking. He's walking towards me, and I got a glimpse of him, and I slid out of the way before he run me over. He is making a beeline for this altar, and I want to tell you, when he hit that altar, that place come plumb unglued. I mean, it got good. I mean, they started shouting. They started praising God. And come to find out, this man got wonderfully, gloriously saved by the good grace of God. And come to find out, this man was that woman's husband. And come to find out, this man was a member of Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. And this man rode his motorcycle in that day and had it parked outside, sat on the back row while she sat up here on the fourth pew. But I want you to know, when he got saved, they met about there. And I said, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hey, you know why that happened? You know why that happened? Because the power supply wasn't short-circuited. The power supply wasn't short-circuited. Had full power. Full power. What in the world do you reckon might happen around here if Gateway Baptist Church could have one service with full power? Because God's people refuse to hang on to their little silly pity selfish grievances. What you reckon might happen around here if a bunch of us would just get around an old fashioned altar and just be honest? Say, God, I sure do need you tonight. God, I sure am a long way from being what I ought to be. God, would you not help me? Because I sure don't want to be the source that short circuits the power supply. Because I want to see you help somebody. I sure don't want to be the one standing in the way. You know what I think? I'm not through my outline, but I'm through my message. Tell you what, why don't we get somebody to the piano? And why don't we just stand to our feet right now? And why don't we just mind the Lord? If God, the sweet Holy Ghost, has come by your way and nudged your heart, won't you just find you a place and won't you just tell him all about it? You don't have to tell me or nobody else. Just find you a place. Just find you a place. Find you a place. Now, church, I did not preach to the lost tonight. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I got news for you. That's the only reason Gateway Baptist Church has got her doors open. It's to see souls saved. If you're not saved tonight, if you'll just make your way down here to the front and look my way, I'll meet you. And I'll either find somebody else to help you, a man if it's a man, a woman if it's a woman, or I'll help you. Tell you what, bow your heads, will you, church? Close your eyes. Let me just ask you tonight. If you're here tonight and you know you're saved, by way of testimony, would you slip that hand up, shoot it up real high? Shoot it up real high. You can put your hands down. Now, if you're here tonight and you could not raise your hand, but you're concerned enough about your soul to lift up your hand and ask this preacher to pray for you, I would be honored. I would be thrilled. I want to do that. Would you let me do that if you're here and you're not saved? Anybody over the house? Brother Jimmy, I'm not saved, but I care enough about my soul to ask you to pray for me. Anybody like that, anywhere over the house, slip it up and back down. I won't embarrass you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray. Is there anybody like that? Brother Jimmy, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anybody? Don't see any hands. Church, I pray God will help us tonight. I pray God will do a work tonight. I want our churches to be able to meet the need. God forbid, even one person from the lost and dying world around you would make their way into this place and leave the way they came. And, oh, God forbid that would happen. God forbid. Church, you do understand that's the only reason we're here. Hey, listen, the only reason we're here is to minister. Jesus Christ came to serve. Peter and John came to serve. But we can't serve unless we're right. And we can't be right unless we're before Him continually. He's worthy tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy.